Dieser Podcast wird präsentiert von N&P Informationssysteme aus Merane. N&P ist seit über 25 Jahren Partner der Eispiraten und des ETC. Das Familienunternehmen digitalisiert den Mittelstand für Kunden aus Industrie und Bauwesen. 200 Teammitglieder arbeiten als Berater und Softwareentwickler in spannenden Projekten zusammen. Bei N&P finden Sie nicht nur IT-Experten, sondern auch Konstrukteure, Produktionsplaner, Bauingenieure und Architekten, die ihr Fachwissen in die gemeinsamen Projekte einbringen. N&P wächst kontinuierlich und ist immer auf der Suche nach passenden Talenten. Neben Ausbildung, BA-Studium, Praktika und Abschlussarbeiten ist natürlich auch der Direkteinstieg möglich. Gerne in Merane, Dresden oder an einem unserer insgesamt 7 Standorte. Weitere Infos findet ihr unter www.nupis.de/karriere.
Ja, hallo und herzlich willkommen. Es ist wieder soweit. Es ist Podcast-Zeit und wie letzte Woche, ich glaube, ich habe es angesprochen, wenn nicht, seht ihr es ja jetzt, habe ich wieder einen Podcast-Gast und es ist genau so, wie ich es geplant hatte. Dylan Ruck hat Zeit für mich oder für uns. Ja, es ist die Woche vor dem Trainingsstart. Freitag geht's los. Alle Spieler trudeln jetzt so langsam ein. Aaron hat es ja gestern schon gepostet, dass auch Vinny Saponari jetzt angekommen ist. Heute oder morgen, ich glaube heute ist der 12. genau. Jetzt kommt Jussi, die Spieler, die alle mit dem Auto kommen, wie Siggi und Co., die trudeln jetzt auch alle so langsam ein. Ja, und dann ist das erste Zusammentreffen am Freitag. Dann geht es auch aufs Eis, Samstag dann das erste öffentliche Eistraining. Ja, und dann beginnt die erste Trainingswoche. Und dann beginnt auch schon am 22. glaube ich unser Testspielturnier. Das wird dann der erste Test sein. Ja, und schon länger und Grimmelschau ist mein heutiger Gast. Und damit switch ich jetzt auch. Ist ja schwierig. I switch into English, it's better. And a very warm welcome to Dylan. Thanks for your time.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Yeah, we're sitting here in the sun with a coffee. It's 10 o'clock in the morning. And yeah, you are here since 2 weeks. I think.
Yeah.
So what are your first impressions about the city and what have you done so far?
We've just been getting our stuff moved. We've been settling in. Our first impressions is we like it. The weather's been great since we got here. No, we're enjoying it. My family and I just being outside and kind of checking out the community, meeting a few people on the team and in the community. Everyone's been super helpful, and yeah, to this point, no, just enjoying it, and then just excited to kind of get the hockey part going. But yeah, no, really enjoying our time so far, and excited to be here.
Tim McAuley told me in the last podcast that you were the first teammate he met at the Rossmann store. The day after when you are arriving here, and he told me it was a weird conversation. How was it for you?
I don't know. I thought it was a fine meeting, but it's just funny because you recognize faces and I've never met him before.
Yeah.
So I think I caught him a bit off guard when I said hello. But no, we've got to hang out with Tim a little bit. He seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
And yeah, looking forward to get to know him better. For
okay.
Sure.
So last weekend we had our city festival, and you had the chance to meet the other teammates there here so far. So yeah, what do you think about the teammates you met?
Yeah, I mean the teammates have been great. We've been having a couple skates in Chemnitz.
Yeah.
And Mario's been driving me.
Okay. Scalzi.
So yeah, Scalzi. So he's been it's been nice kind of showing me around a little bit.
Yeah.
And then meeting everybody else has been good. Played with a couple guys before with Brune and Chevy.
Yeah.
Kinda through my career. So a few familiar faces and Kevin Reich obviously too. So
yeah.
Always good to see a familiar face, but meeting the new guys and everyone's been just friendly. So
okay. And do you have the time to, after the city festivals, maybe some players going to drink a beer or something like that? Do you have the chance to do?
Yeah, we did. We had fun. The entertainment was great. Yeah. The music and everything. So we went. We had a beer. Got to hang out a little bit and get to know everybody a little bit better. It was fun. The Saturday night was good. The city was busy, okay. and it was good.
And your wife is enjoying it too. You are here with your wife and two kids.
Yes. My wife Stacy and then my two kids, my daughter Rome and son Van, are here. And she's enjoying it too. Just busy. The first weeks are always busy getting everything ready. So, we're tired. We're doing good, but everyone's happy to be here, and we're starting to get settled. Okay. So, I'm starting to feel more comfortable.
Aaron told me your daughter is 4.
Yep.
Do you need a kindergarten or something like that, or?
Yeah. So we met with the Kita already. So we went and met them and just kind of looked around. Mm-hmm. Again, everyone just friendly and welcoming.
Okay.
So we'll start that soon. But we had our meeting with them, and that's been the great part about being here. Just everyone helpful with all the things you need with the family. So that's been good. Yeah.
So you told me before the podcast you had a nice flat around the Sand Park. Do you been there with your kids?
Yes, we have. We've been to the Sand Park. We've seen the animals, and I'm sure we'll be there lots. Yeah. So that's a lot of our everyday is at the park and enjoying the outdoors. So. That area is actually, it's beautiful.
Okay.
So we'll be there lots.
Cool. Is your family always traveling with you?
Yeah. We travel together kind of everywhere we go.
Yeah.
We think that's important. They've been with me through it all.
Okay.
We're getting pretty good at picking up and moving from city to city. And just enjoying the different areas we've been to, and seeing my daughter's 4, so she's starting to understand the hockey life and all the things which adds a different element to it.
Yeah.
So it'll be an adjustment for her, but we travel pretty well as a group. Okay. So
it's not hard for her to meet other kids and something like that, or I think. You come to a city, then you've been there 1 year or like Hanover 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You've got friendships, maybe.
Yeah.
And then Papa says, okay, so we had to leave because I had a new team. So how hard is it for her?
This is the first time where she understands that we're moving and she's going to a new Kita and is going to be meeting new people. So this one's been a little bit tougher than the last times. But I think it's good for her. She's learning how to meet new people and speaking German and all the things.
Can she speak German?
Well, she can understand it. She needs to get comfortable to speak it, but I'm learning from her more than anything. So she's doing well, but this is the first time she understands it, so it makes it a little bit more difficult, and maybe more difficult even just for my wife and I, because we just want her to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And it adds a bit of concern, but for the most part, she does pretty good.
Cool.
From what we've seen, I think she'll make the transition well. So.
So, and around the team, there are many players with family. So,
right, and that always helps. So there's lots of kids, lots of families, and even like I said, we've met lots of people, even in the community at the parks and stuff. So we're making friends, and it's been good.
That's good. Your son isn't a year so far, huh?
No, so he's 11 months old, he was just born last year, so this is all new to him.
Yeah.
He's happy and crawling and stuff, so.
And is your wife Tracy? I remember right?
Stacy, yeah.
Stacy. Is he come to the games with the kids, or how do you plan it?
They come as often as they can come. My daughter loves it. He likes to stay awake, so he's not the best sleeper. So he likes coming to the games too. Yeah. So I'm sure we'll see them there lots.
Okay.
Yeah.
You played in TDL2 for Heilbronn mm-hmm. and for Frankfurt. And so you know the Sandbox, you know the stadium, you know that it's half open. In yeah. the summer, it's, I think, crazy to train there. In the winter, it's really cold.
Right.
So when you know it to play in front of the fans as an opponent, now you play in front of the fans like a hometown player. Right. So, yeah, are you excited or what do you think about when you think about it that you play in front of the fans?
Yeah, like I've been thinking kind of about playing here in the past, and I remember the fans always being good, and it's a tough place to play as a visiting team. So I just think strategy wise, that's what do you want to say? That's that's an advantage for us.
Yeah.
But no, I'm looking forward to it. It definitely has the elements and like the old kind of history feel to it.
Yeah.
And the cold, the warm, all the things. So I just think you got to embrace that. And looking forward to playing in front of the fans. Just hear nothing but good things. So.
So I had a little quiz for you. Quiz. Yeah. Do you know when was your last game here in Crimmitschau?
My last game in Crimmitschau. Oh, no, I don't.
26th of March, 2022.
Okay.
So, do you know how often do you have played against Crimmitschau? How many games?
I'd guess like 7.
It was 12.
12. 12. Okay.
And what do you think? How many points did you score against Crimmitschau?
Oh, I have no idea.
No idea?
No idea. Okay.
Name a mark. What's
a mark? Well, I'll just go. I'd want to point a game. So let's go 12.
12. Oh, it's good. 17.
Okay, we'll take that. That's great.
You did a good job against.
That's great.
6 goals. Okay. 11 assists.
Okay. Awesome. Well, there you go.
There was only one game you not delivered.
Okay. One. Okay. Well, 1 out of 12. That's okay.
Yeah. 1 out of 12. That's okay. So let's talk about you, Dylan. You were born on September 21st?
23rd, yeah.
23rd, yeah.
Yeah.
In 1992 in Saskatoon.
Yeah.
Tim McAuley told me that he was growing up in a small village called Wilcox. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Saskatoon, so that's just a little bit north from there. I grew up, I grew up until I was 17 and left for Edmonton Oil Kings. But yeah, so I grew up in Saskatoon, and my whole family, both my mom and my dad's side of the family, is from Saskatoon. So that's where all my family is. And that's where I grew up.
Your first steps in hockey are in Duck Lake. And I Google it, and it's a real small village between Saskatoon and Prince Albert in the north.
Mm-hmm.
The population is 600. It's small like Wilcox.
Yeah.
So I do the same thing.
Yeah.
But there was a junior team called the Birdie Blackhawks.
Yeah.
So how did you become to the Birdie Blackhawks?
That's AAA Midget, as we called it at the time I was playing. So there's the Saskatchewan League, which is a great AAA Midget league. The teams in Saskatoon are the Contacts and Blazers, and that is kind of where I wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up not looking like the greatest opportunity for me, so I went and played in Beardies. Played for a great coach. We had great seasons there. I think that's probably the start of my career where I really excelled and kind of started my career there. So I loved every moment playing there. And I think it was a big stepping stone for me in my career going to play there. So, yeah.
And when did you start playing hockey as a kid?
I don't know. Skates were on as soon as you could kind of walk, 2-3 years old. But would have started playing more organized hockey probably six years old.
In Saskatoon.
In Saskatoon,
And then you moved to the Birdie Blackhawks.
Yeah, at age 15 would have started in Beardies for 2 seasons. And like I said, it was, those are 2 great seasons. Yeah.
One of your teammates there was Clark Breitkreuz.
Yes.
Who is now the captain from our Derby Gegner, Weißwasser.
Right.
Do we have some memories about him and his time?
He Yeah, Clark, he was from Yorkton, so he moved to Saskatoon to play for yeah. Beardies, but played on a line with him for 1 year. Yeah, lots of memories from Clark.
Okay.
And that's like some of the funniest things about the hockey world is that it's so small.
Yeah.
And you know so many players from so many different areas and, yeah. and run into them again. So definitely lots of memories from Clark. So, yeah.
He was more the tough guy, I think, when I look at the penalty score and something like that.
Clark. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I... Yeah, Clark... is Clark's a great dude. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if he's tough or not, but we I love yeah, the Breakers. I played with both their brothers. They're great people and good guys. So
okay,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like you said before, in the age of 16 you went to Edmonton, Alberta, to the Oil Kings. Was it the next step who is yeah, you must take?
Yeah, that was the next step for me from Beardies was to go play junior hockey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, started my 17-year-old year with Edmonton and played four seasons there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those are some of my better hockey memories. We went from the worst team in the league my first year to winning the championship in my third year. So
yeah.
We got to see both sides of that league, being on the bottom and then being at the top. Mm-hmm. And the best team in Canada for a while. So great memories there. Yeah, really enjoyed my time in Edmonton.
Yeah, and when I take a look to the squad, I read some well-known names like Clark's brother, Brett Breitkreuz, playing there, Brent Radeke, Robin Sudek, he plays here as well mm-hmm. for maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Michael Burns, Travis Ivanek. Jordan yeah. Hickmuth, he's now playing in Bad yeah. Nauheim. So and most of them, and that's an interesting thing. The most of them, they have a German passport, like you.
Right.
Yeah. How was this time in Edmonton?
Yeah, it was a great time. Even just yeah, listing those names right. Brings back a lot of good memories. Yeah, it's interesting that a lot of us ended up in the German league.
Yeah.
But I think that's just a good thing about Edmonton. I mean, everyone was a good player.
Yeah.
They had a good program. Everyone developed well. It's good to see all the guys that I played with yeah. make a professional career out of it. So
do you know when I say they, many of them have the German passport. Do you know why you have the German passport and since when?
I guess part of that, I guess, was Brent Redeke. I know he got his and he's mm-hmm. a few years older than I am and it was kind of the start of when we started looking into it
mm-hmm.
Basically just hired a lawyer over here and found that I did have German heritage.
Ah, okay.
And yeah, I got my German passport. Yeah. Definitely helpful with guys like Brent Redeke and,
yeah.
and Brooks Masek kind of thing.
Ah, okay, cool.
Just seeing them do it definitely kind of got me thinking that yeah. that might be an option. So
it makes things easier for you.
Yeah,
maybe, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure. And just never thought my career would yeah. take that path. It wasn't a plan per
not
se
at this time, though.
but yeah, definitely. Yeah, happy that we looked into it.
Yeah.
And just yeah, really enjoyed.
When we look at the time in Edmonton at the Oil Kings, most of the time you were the top scorer of the team or one of the top scorer. Like you said before, you became in your third year the WHA champion in 2012. But in the playoffs, you played only 8 games. And it was a game in Brandon, and you had your first dislocated shoulder. And then the playoffs were done for you. So how hard was it not to play the playoffs from this time?
Yeah, that's very difficult. I think that's the part that... that no one gets to see with athletes is just the injuries that and how difficult it is where you put so much time in and then there's still a lot of things mm-hmm. out of your control. I've had 3 shoulder surgeries that have mm-hmm. ended seasons and it was all within kind of a 4-year span and not much more to be said about it other than just kind of bad luck.
Yeah.
So that was a time in my career where I had to really... kind of stick with it and struggle through it mm-hmm. to get back to playing the way I could and just all the things that go into rehab and all the things. So, it's never easy not playing, and it's no fun getting injured, but it's part of the game, and it happens.
Okay. In your last year in the WHA, you became the award of the most sportsmanlike player. It's a huge award, in my opinion, because it shows what character you have. Is he fair? What is he doing with his teammates and something like this? So what means the award to you?
A special award. There's lots that go into that. As a more skilled scoring forward, I was honored to get that award. I was honored to get that award in the whole WHL. Something pretty special. And the names on that trophy, I mean, they speak for themselves. Yeah, there's some great
Sam
names.
Sam Reinhardt, I think, was.
Sam Reinhardt, Tyler Ennis. There's plenty of names of skilled guys that I looked up to that were on there. So, it was an honor to have my name on there. So.
Okay. And do you have the award right now?
No, I don't have the award, but you have a little plaque of keepsake.
So you get it and then you get it back.
Yeah.
Okay. The GM of the Oil Kings was Randy Hunch. He was a special person for you. So tell us why.
Randy was kind of the first hockey. Randy and Bob Green were the first kind of hockey minds that believed that I could play, being a smaller player. You always need somebody in your corner, just especially the time that I was playing. It was all about size, not so much as speed and skill. So, they found me. I was undrafted to the WHL and signed me and always made me feel comfortable and, just instilled confidence in me. And that was a big part of why I excelled in Edmonton and obviously why our team excelled, because they found talent where nobody else kind of found it. So,
cool. After the WHL, you went to Ontario, not Ontario in Canada, so Ontario nearby Los Angeles.
Yes.
To the Ontario Reign. Mm-hmm. Is it right? Yeah. Reign.
Yeah.
In the East Coast League. But you played there only 3 games with 6 points. It was good, real good. So what's going on? Why only 3 games?
So that's another shoulder.
The so second
that,
one.
Yeah, so that was a very short stint in California. I really liked it there.
Yeah.
We had a great team. I was out to a great start. That one was a tough one just because I was playing well. I was in great shape. I would have liked the opportunity to move up. That was the goal, was to play in the AHL and see where it kind of took me at that point. But again, injuries happen. It was another one of those seasons. So it led me over here. And that was kind of the next step of my career. Yeah. But I really like California. The funny story about that is that when I signed there, I thought it was in Canada, Ontario.
Oh, okay.
But it was quite the surprise to be in LA. It was great to kind of see that lifestyle, and just the weather was beautiful. So had a lot of fun there. I wish it would have lasted longer, but that's the way it goes.
And it's hard because it was the end of your journey in hockey in America.
Right.
So why the move to Europe? Was it
at that time there are some restrictions on schooling and different things with junior hockey.
Okay.
So if you're playing pro hockey, you lose eligibility to go to school that's paid in Canada, I guess. I'm not a fan of that rule. They have talked about changing, and now they can go NCAA and do some different things, which I think is great for the CHL. But because my season was cut so short, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I had a good start. I knew all I wanted to do was play hockey.
Yeah.
Iserlohn called, and at that time I had enough research done for my German passport.
Yeah.
And so that just seemed like the most logical move. And then, so we went on a 2-year contract to Iserlohn, and that's where it led,
And when we look at the time in Iserlohn, you had a real good first year, and then you had the next big injury in the second year, mm-hmm. and it was your third dislocated shoulder. And the season was over in October. So how hard was it, and which impact has it for the head? I think.
Yeah. So that, like I said, those few years there were just difficult on my body and on my mind, and trying to, just figure out why it happened, and just being okay that it happened, I guess. But
was it the same shoulder all the time?
Two on one and one on another.
Okay.
And that was a difficult time because I was playing well. And the 2 years that I was in Israel, we had great teams.
Yeah.
So it was super fun playing there. But so that year was cut short as well. That was the toughest one probably, just because that was the second one on that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that was the toughest one, but ended up working through that one and coming back the next year. Didn't have as good of a year as I had in prior. Could be reasons for that, but I was just happy that I kind of battled through it and stuck with it, because at that point you don't know if you're still going to play or what you're going to do. So
you did a real good job in your third year. That was the year you played together with Chevy.
Right, okay.
So in Iserlohn.
Yeah.
So when I researched, right? And after Iserlohn, you moved to Cologne. And in Cologne, it was not a good year for you and for the team, because Peter Dreisaitl was replaced early the season in November, by Corey Clouston. And you had 35 games, 2 assists, and 5 playoff games. So what was going on in Cologne?
Cologne was a different experience hockey wise than I'd been a part of to that point. How that went was, it was Corey Clouston who was the head coach when I got there.
Yeah.
And he was replaced by Dreisaitl.
Oh,
it was. And Dreisaitl took over in October.
Ah, okay. So it was wrong for me. It was.
Yeah. So how that worked was Corey Clouston. I think people know his name.
Yeah.
NHL coach, junior coach. He kind of recruited me to go there because I played against him in junior.
Yeah.
And I just feel like he liked my game. And I felt like I came and had a pretty good training camp and a decent start. Kind of struggled right when the year started, and our team struggled, which was the hardest part. And then Dreisaitl came in, and playing for a different coach at that time, I just didn't fit on that team. That's how that went. And that was just a different experience for me. And as the team struggled, that was a tough year. Cologne, the city, was great.
Yeah,
for sure. Enjoyed that, and just seeing what that city kind of held. But definitely the hockey wasn't. That's not a year I look back on.
Okay.
And have too much excitement about. But that was a stop along the way. And
so after that, you moved to Straubing in the DL. And then 2019, you find the way to Heilbronn in the DL2. And was it kind of a restart or something like that? Because, the season in Straubing wasn't good as well.
Yeah, I just think it's tough, especially on the Cologne and the Straubing seasons. Like, when you say that my season wasn't great, I just find that one tough, because hockey is such a difficult game when you're playing on a team,
many aspects, and with
ice time. I mean, if you're not given the opportunity, there's nothing you can really do.
Yeah.
Not saying that I sometimes didn't deserve it, did deserve it. It goes back and forth on that one. And Straubing, I thought I deserved a lot more than what I got there.
It was a much more better season.
That one, I felt like I was playing well, but didn't align really with how the coach kind of seen, which is part of the game.
Tom Pogel was the coach.
So that was a tough year. As well. But Heilbronn, that was just a year of fun, just playing and loving the game again. And just getting to play a lot. The 2 years prior, I wouldn't say I got to play kind of my style or how I liked to play. Heilbronn was definitely a refresher. Look on that one with a lot of excitement. That was the year that's too bad that COVID hit. I thought our team was great. Yes. And I thought we would have had a chance to make some noise in the playoffs, which would have been fun. But then the COVID stuff comes in. But
you know, and the playoffs were cut.
Yeah. So.
So Hebron, and you did a tremendous job. It was a crazy season. You've been in Hebron for 2 seasons, 103 games, 50 goals, 122 assists. So, yeah. What do you think about your first time in a DL2?
Just a lot of fun. We had a good team, bunch of good players that like to work hard and play. We had that's where we played with I don't know if it was the first or second year with Brune, with the young Mannheim kids there. They were young and full of energy, and then we had some older guys who with some experience and a lot of skill. That team was just fun to be on. And I thought we played really well. And I look back on those 2 years in Hellebron just with a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it's where my daughter was born, so just some good memories there. So
So when you say you want to make noise in the DL2, you as a person did it, I think. And me for sure, yeah. And other people think, okay, Dylan, now he's moving to the DL back. But you didn't move to the DL. You moved to Frankfurt in the DL2. And it was a team with huge ambitions. And was that the promise from the GM of the Lions to build a team that can reach the DL again?
Yeah, that was the reason to move to Frankfurt. My goal was to get another shot in the DL at that time. Mm-hmm. And Frankfurt just seemed like the best option.
Yeah.
We moved there, and that year was that year went as good as it could go. And that was a fun one with a great team. And we were able to accomplish what we set out to do.
Yeah.
And no better feeling than winning it. So
You won the championship. The promise comes to real.
Yeah.
And you're back in the DL. So what do you think when you look back to the season to win the championship? It was a second championship in the WHL, now the DL2 champion. So what do you think about the time in Frankfurt for the Lions in the DL2?
Yeah, the time there that year was just, we had a great team, had a very experienced, mature group. The style of hockey we played was championship caliber.
Coach for Boshubo.
We played a good system game. We had skill, speed, defense. I mean, we had goaltending.
Yeah.
There wasn't an area that team lacked. That was a fun year, a confident year by our group.
Okay.
We definitely thought we could do it, but thinking you can do it and actually doing it is different things. So, that was a great year for hockey, and just sharing that with my family and just winning. I mean, you always remember the championships. That's the standout ones. So.
And then you played another season for Frankfurt in the DEL.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good season for you and for the team.
Yeah.
But after the season, you moved to Hannover.
Mm-hmm.
And not to the DL2, you moved to the third division. And when I'm thinking back then, I asked myself, why is he doing that stuff? Why do you move to the third division? Was it the same promise from Frankfurt, from Hannover to move to the DL2? Or what was the reason why?
Yeah. So after that year in the DL, I really enjoyed that year. That was the first year up there. We enjoyed it. I enjoyed playing. I thought I had a great year. And as a team, we had a great year too.
Yeah.
We made it into the pre-playoff, which is the first year in that league is an accomplishment. And then after that season, we didn't know what we were planning to do. We were kind of playing that year out and kind of seeing what was available. We had options to stay in Frankfurt, but just didn't feel right with kind of what we wanted. And I'm sure everyone was a little bit surprised that we chose to go to Hanover, yeah. I'm sure. We kind of weighed our options at that point. And yeah, I mean, the idea was Hanover to move up, much like we did in Frankfurt. And that was why we went, was not like my goal was to play in the Oberliga by any stretch. It was to, you know, have a setup for my family, live in Germany more full time, and you know, play in the second league or first league. I mean, we didn't really, but that just seemed like the best option for us.
Okay.
Definitely didn't go as planned.
Yeah. So Hanover was one of the favorite teams for the championship. You played there for 2 years, and in the second year they bring Trunk Naksha to the team, and you had a big squad of skilled players. Many people believe they can reach the DL2 and win the championship in the German Oberliga. But what are the reasons why it didn't work out?
There's a lot of reasons.
Okay.
There's a lot of reasons why. The team that that was put together there, we had a great group. Mm-hmm. If we're just thinking about last year, we made it to the game 7 and we lost.
Yeah.
So you're about as close as you can get. In terms of the full year, when you sit back and look at it, it was an odd year of 4 different coaches.
Yeah.
Lots of different problems. And it just, that in a, if you look at that, it's, there's a lot of reasons why it didn't work, but you can sit here and talk about that forever. You lose game 7, which I thought we actually outplayed beating Heim in game 7. So that stung for sure. I just didn't think we gave ourselves the best chance.
Yeah.
Cause you got to give yourself the best chance. When we won it in Frankfurt, everything we did was to win.
Yeah.
Every decision we made, all the things. And I would just say, in Hanover, I know everyone tried their best, but some of the things that we decided to do, I don't think gave us the best chance to win. I'm proud of the group sticking together, and we battled. Even the playoff run last year was so fun.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of games where we get lucky, you score a late goal. It just wasn't. If I was to compare the Hanover to the Frankfurt, because those are the two similar situations.
Yeah.
When I said like our team in Frankfurt was like really mature and experienced, and we played a certain way, we gave ourselves the best chance to win.
Yeah.
I would just say in Hanover, it was just a little bit relied on our skill, you know, and sometimes in big games, it's sometimes it doesn't come through, right?
Yeah.
So, it's just disappointing that we didn't win there.
Yeah.
Because the goal there is to move them up. So that didn't go our way. You win one, you lose one. That's kind of how it works. But disappointing though, because we had a good enough team to win. So
a part of the team was Kevin Reich.
Mm-hmm.
Now he is your teammate here in Grimmitschau. What can we expect from him?
Reichy. You know, he's a good goalie. He's big in the net. He sees the puck well.
Yeah.
Looking forward to kind of watch him this year. I hope we play more defense for him here.
Okay.
and help him out a little bit.
Yeah.
For sure. So excited for him. It's cool that we kind of come together. Like I said, a familiar face is always nice.
Yeah.
Nice guy, and looking forward to see what he can do here. Just want to play well in front of him
How important is it when you say to have familiar faces in the new team? How important is it to know some of the teammates?
Yeah, it's nice when it comes down to it. It's nice, but in my experience, most hockey players are in the similar spot where things are new and you're meeting new people, and most guys are pretty like welcoming and all the things. So. It's nice when you have a familiar face, and at this stage of my career, you've played with a lot of guys, and whether you've played with them or you've played with someone they know, it kind of all kind of fits into place like that. So
Kevin told me that the third division is not the league
who see himself, and now he wants to step up in the DL2. Why do you decide to come back in the DL2?
For me, important just at the stage of my career. I didn't want to finish in the Oberliga.
Yeah.
Not like I think I'm close to finishing, but I just wanted to go play in the DL2. Better hockey, better systems. I think the league's getting better. I just wanted to challenge myself again. That was the hardest part about the last 2 years, is that a lot of the regular season, it's difficult in Hanover because you're only playing for pretty much a month of the season of playoffs when you kind of get into the later stages of the season, which is the difficulty of that league.
Yeah.
Where here, I welcome the challenge. I like challenging myself and just wanted to play some better hockey, some better team hockey, playing with some better players, all the things. Yeah. So, yeah.
Do you want to move out of the sun? You're sitting in front of the sun.
Cooking over here.
And it's really hot right now. So ich habe jetzt gerade Dylan mal in den Schatten mit verortet, weil er saß direkt in der Sonne. Jetzt machen wir mal noch eine kleine Runde Eistee. So. It's mint tea. I don't know if you like it.
Okay.
Oh, it's warm. Cheers. No, it's okay. So Dylan, let's talk about Krumichow and you. Do you know when was the first time when the Ice Pirates take contact to you or contact you?
I think it was after I finished in Frankfurt.
Okay.
I know they had contacted my agent. That was at the time where we were looking at a bunch of different options.
Yeah.
And just weren't sure where we were going to end up. But and then the second time would have been just after last season. We kind of were waiting to see what was going to happen in Hanover. And after that didn't go as planned there, we were kind of looking for options. And they reached out.
Yeah.
Happy we were able to come to an agreement and come here. Like I said, after we lost last year, my focus was more to play in the second league. That was more where my head was at. So, thankful that we were able to work something out. And,
And did you talk to Yossi so far?
No. So I haven't really talked to
Ronnie?
I've talked to Ronnie. So I came last year after the season and I came to visit the city and we looked at some apartments and met with Ronnie and met everybody in the office just briefly.
Yeah.
Outside that, haven't met really anybody else as of yet. So looking forward to meet everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't know what you're expecting from
me. No, not entirely yet. Okay, I don't. I'm sure we'll have that conversation sometime shortly here, but no, we're not not quite there yet.
Okay.
But I'm sure over the next weeks we'll chat.
Okay. And, so now it comes to question every player hate, but what kind of player are you? Can you describe yourself?
What kind of player am I? I like to think that I'm an offensive-minded player that over my career has kind of put together a 200-foot game. I think me switching to center now, it's years ago now, 8 years ago, has developed my game into more of a 200-foot game. So I like to play both sides of the puck, and I think I'm more complete than I was when I was younger in my career. I like to bring some speed, and I rely on my passing and my smarts and thinking the game.
Okay.
So I think those are my strengths, and I hope to bring that here. And.
So I don't know if you know it, but in the summer now we lost some very good players like Toby Lindberg, Colin Smith, Scott Faeser, and Thomas Reichel. They were our top four scorer. So the fans and me as well, we hope to you, to Tim McAuley, to Corey Mackin, to close this gap. So what do you think? Is this too much pressure or too much expectation, or what do you think?
I don't think so. I think that's the pressure is part of playing.
Yeah.
I think if you ask those guys, I think they would be excited for the opportunity as I am. So I mean, I don't know much about you know, Tim's games or Corey's game, mm-hmm. but I've looked them up a little bit. They look like great players. But I mean, it's gonna be a whole team that yeah. comes together. It's not gonna be three or four guys if we want to do something special this year and have a good winning year. It's gonna be the group of 20 that's gonna have to yeah. do it. And we're gonna have to play the right way. I think that's the key. I think this league's getting better. I think the coaching's getting better. I think if we play the right way and play with energy, I think the scoring will be spread around. I definitely look at myself that want to, you know, lead the way in that category and just use my skill set to help this team. So
when we look to our squad, it looks like we had a real experienced team. We had Chevy, Mirko Sacher, we had Ole Olev, Felix Thomas, Mario Scalzo. In the offense, we had you, we had Corey Megan, we had Ziggy, we have Vinny. They are also over 30. So, and then we got much real young players like Biggins and something like that. Then we had Tim Lutz and Luis Brune, you know him. Mm-hmm. So in when I think about the team, it seems like a real good mix.
I agree. I think it's important to have a little bit of both. I think you need some young players. I think what they bring to every team is great. Their energy and just like some speed and skating and just work ethic, I think. But then you need some experience. You need the old guys to kind of help, you know, teach, you know,
to lead the young
control play and lead. And then you need some guys also, I would say, in their prime, whatever you want to call it. But I think it makes for a good mixture. We'll see how it comes together. But I do think that just at the thought of it, I think it's a great mix. Like I said, just excited to see what our team looks like. It's hard to say right now because we haven't been together yet. But I think what we have is great. Just looking forward to see what everyone kind of brings. Yeah.
So if you had the chance to choose, what do you like prefer? An ugly goal or a real good crisp pass to the teammate and he scores the goal?
I'm a passer at heart. Okay. I've always been a passer. I like scoring goals as much as the next guy too, but I've always been a passer.
Okay.
So I would have to say just a nice pass. I would say from myself. So
are you a player who likes to organize the power play or something like that?
That has been my job, I guess, or my role on majority of the teams that I've played for the last while. So that's definitely something that I see myself doing.
Yeah.
But again, we have to kind of see what skill sets we have, and I think it's good to be. I think it's good to be a little bit of a utility where you have to kind of have everyone fit. So that's, like I say, we'll have to figure out where everyone fits. But my skill set would be more of a passing control play, and
when we talk experienced players and young players, I think Weiden was it last year. They do the mix in the lines. They had two experienced players and one young player in one line. Do you think it's a good opportunity?
I don't think at that point you're thinking too much about age. Specifically when you're setting up lines, I think it's more skill set, I think it'd be more skill set. So if you kind of need a little bit of everything, you need some speed, you need some skill, you need some passing, someone who can shoot, score. So I think that's more where the thought is, but I do like a good mixture. Like I said, we'll see kind of how we set things up here, but a good mix is always great.
Because sometimes the younger players are more free in the head. They are easier. They're not thinking too much.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that can be an asset for sure. Like I said, I think it's more based upon skill set and what each guy brings. And I'm just interested to see kind of what our lineup looks like that way. But
so what are your goals for the next season?
Well, my goal right now is to get myself prepared. These next 5 weeks we have, or 6 weeks, whatever it is, I think are important for our group, just to get us physically and mentally ready. So that's where my focus is right now. When is our first game? September.
When is September 15th?
15th
against Krefeld.
That's our
regular season game.
Okay, so I mean that's step one, is to be ready for that game. So it's important for us just to get to work. Yeah. I think right now, and then our goals in the season. You might have to ask me again.
Okay.
Again, but I think the goal for any team in this league should be to make the top six. There's really. If you don't have that goal, I just think that's the goal to get yourself into the playoffs, and get the bye through the pre-playoffs is the spot to try to be in.
So what do you think about the DL2? We got Düsseldorf in the league, now Krefeld, Kassel. We had other real good teams like Rosenheim, Landshut. So what do you think about the DL2 in general?
I think it's been a great ad. I think like the competition level, I think has gone up. I think I think it keeps everybody honest on both ends of the league. I know, in just watching the league the last 2 years, it's been really competitive from top to bottom. I think any team in this league can win on any night. So I think it's added a good element. And I think it's just made it more competitive, which I think is better for fans, players, and for the general league, I guess. So.
Okay. So, like I said in the start of the podcast, Friday is the first training. So now we are on Tuesday. So, what are your plans in the next 2 days when you're free?
Yeah, so well, it's just always getting your body ready. I think is important for training camp. So we're skating tonight in Chemnitz with some of the guys again tonight, and then just continuing getting our place ready and enjoying some family time before we get busy. Yeah. So that's what I'll be doing for the next 2 days. And then, excited to get on the ice, and get going. It's been a good summer, but excited to get going.
I ask you the same question I was Tim ask. What does a perfect game day looks like for you?
Perfect game day.
Waking up to go to bed.
There's a lot that goes into that. Would be to get up. A little bit of a breakfast, a stretch and a coffee, maybe a pregame skate or a little bike, one or the other. And then would be come home, pregame meal of a few different options.
Okay.
The same options, but a few options.
What's your favorite?
Would just be like a simple pasta and chicken, or a chicken and rice. Pretty standard.
Okay.
Pretty standard
Tim
stuff.
Told me the same.
Yeah.
Chicken, rice, and not onions. Pilze. I don't know. Champignons.
Okay.
Mushrooms. Sorry. Yeah.
So stays pretty the same, and then a little nap would be on the menu, and. Okay. And then up and go would be quite a bit of a routine. I think every player has all their routines, and it's everything's pretty down to a science, just to try to get your body feeling the best you can for puck drop.
How many hours before a game you went to the stadium? 2-3 hours?
Yeah, 2 hours. Okay. 2 hours. It goes quick by the time you get there and get yourself ready to go. 2 hours is just enough to get yourself
I hope
ready.
Your daughter gives you a chance to take a nap.
Yes, well, that's the key now. She's not a fan of the naps anymore.
Okay,
so,
no.
She just wants to play nonstop. But dad might have to sneak away for an hour on game day. Yeah.
What do you do when you're not playing hockey?
Well, what do I do? We just a lot of family time. With my daughter and my son. We go to parks. We like to go to the beach. Like to travel a little bit. With two little kids, we don't get to do that as much. Yeah. So it's definitely a simpler life, which is sometimes the best. Other hobbies are, I like to golf. I'm a big golfer. Yeah. I've heard there's a few on the team.
Yes, for sure.
So I'm excited for that. That's probably my biggest off-season hobby would be golf.
But why is it so? Every player, I ask this question, what are your hobbies?
Yeah.
After ice hockey. Every player says golfing, golfing. And in Grimmitow, we had some real good players.
Okay.
They can golf. Cool. So why golf?
Why golf? It's a good question. It's a difficult, frustrating game. I don't know. You're outside. Weather's nice. Yeah. And I don't know. There's something about hitting the golf ball and trying to beat your score. makes you mad, makes you happy. Yeah. And you're playing with friends, so I don't know. I think just the whole the whole part of it, the social part, the fun part, and then the competitiveness, too, when you start playing with someone of your skill level, is just super fun.
Cool. So I don't know if you know it, but the last 3 years since Yossi and Asa are together as the trainer team, they do in the preseason a short golf tournament. And when I'm right, and I am, I'm really sure that Esa and Yossi win the tournament the last 2 years.
That's what I've heard. Okay, I have heard this. Okay. There has been some talk about this. So,
okay.
we'll be looking to change that this year.
Yeah.
For sure. So we'll see what kind of a group we can get together.
Okay.
But yeah, we're looking to change that for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we are at the end of the podcast. Dylan, thanks for your time. I enjoyed it a lot. And we have ending phrase in the podcast.
Okay.
And you, yeah, it's real easy, but two words in German. Aus Grimmitschau, you have to say.
Aus Grimmitschau.
Yeah. I say tschüss und ciao, and you say aus Grimmitschau.
Okay.
But not yet. I have to tell something in German, and then I came back to you.
Okay.
So das war der Podcast mit Dylan. Wieder, ja, genauso wie mit Tim, ein sehr, sehr sympathisches Gespräch. Ich hoffe, euch hat es genauso gefallen wie mir. Ich blicke, wie gesagt, jetzt noch positiver in die Saison. Ich denke, das Team, was wir bis jetzt, oder was wir haben, schaut wirklich charakterlich top aus. Ich habe es gerade eben schon im Podcast angesprochen. Ich hoffe, dass ich irgendwie vielleicht Corey McCann jetzt noch in den Podcast kriege in der Vorbereitung. Und dann schauen wir mal, welcher Spieler vielleicht noch Zeit hat. Kevin Reich auf jeden Fall auch. Also ich denke, das wird so die nächsten Pläne sein. Ansonsten ist Freitag ja das erste Training, das erste Come Together der Spieler. Und Samstag dann das erste öffentliche Training. Ja, und dann beginnt auch schon die erste Trainingswoche. Und ja, dann schauen wir einfach mal, was sich da so an Podcast-Sachen noch ergibt. Und ja, von daher sage ich jetzt erstmal, und now I switch into English. So we're saying from here, from my backyard, and we say tschüss und ciao.
Aus Grimmitschau.
Yeah, perfect, Dylan. Thanks.
Dankeschön, thank you.
Ja, dankeschön. Ciao.